Our topic today is, aren't all religions basically the same? And it's a common question. And it's a question that feels especially close to home right now in light of the Bondi shootings. Because when something so shocking and senseless happens, we naturally start to ask deeper questions. Questions about belief, questions about truth, and questions about whether religion helps the world or in fact harms it. And if we dig a little deeper, it isn't really being asked as a genuine question at all. It comes more like a complaint, something like this. It's arrogant to think your religion is right and try to convert everyone else. Thinking your religion is the only right one has caused wars. If Christians keep claiming they have the only truth, the world will never know peace. At first, that sounds fair and reasonable. After all, the history books are full of examples where religion has been linked to violence. News headlines from around the world remind us about them. And when violence erupts in the name of belief or religion, it rightly disturbs us. And we'll examine that more closely towards the end. But before we get to that, mostly, from a distance, mainstream religions do look alike. They talk about being kind, about helping others, about living in peace. It's like looking at mountains from far away. From a distance, they all blend together. They look the same. But when you walk closer, you see all the differences. One is steep, another is rocky, another is dangerous. And religion is like that. From far away, they sound familiar. But when you listen closely to what they say about God, about us, about salvation, the differences are huge. And the question isn't a new one. In the first century, the city of Athens loved new ideas. As we have read in Acts 17:21, the people of Athens and the foreigners who lived there spent all their time either telling or listening to all the latest ideas. They were open to every belief. And the passage goes on, "Men of Athens, everything I see here tells me you are very religious. I was going through your city and I saw the things you worship. I found an altar that had these words written on it, to an unknown God." They didn't want to leave anyone out. So they even built altars to an unknown God just in case they'd missed one. They wanted to include every belief. And that sounds generous and open-minded. But, you know, when you accept everything, you end up standing for nothing. To make all beliefs fit together, you have to ignore their differences. And the truth is, religions don't just differ. They disagree. And so real tolerance isn't pretending we all believe the same thing. Real tolerance is treating people with respect, even when we do disagree. So that leaves us with two choices. We can examine the claims and ask what is true, or we can say they're all true and avoid having to think deeply about it. And the second option feels open, but it leaves us unsure. Because like the Athenians, we just build an altar to the unknown God. So today, let's walk closer and honestly ask the question, aren't all religions basically the same? And we'll explore four ideas. What Jesus claimed about himself, where the Bible says yes to other religions, why Christianity is different, how Christians should live with disagreement. And then we'll return to that complaint. If Christians keep claiming they have the only truth, the world will never know peace. So, firstly, what Jesus claimed about himself. Jesus says in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to the Father is through me." Notice carefully what he says. He doesn't say, "I will show you the way." He says, "I am the way." And he doesn't say, "I teach the truth." He says, "I am the truth." And that's a very big claim. Because many Australians are comfortable saying, well, Jesus was a good teacher, a great role model, and a decent bloke. But that doesn't fit with what Jesus actually said. C.S. Lewis, a famous Christian academic and writer, started out as an atheist, and he didn't want Christianity to be true. But when he read Jesus' words, he saw the problem. Because Jesus forgave sins. He spoke with God's authority, and he said he would die and rise again from the dead. And a man like that cannot be a good teacher. Lewis said Jesus must be either a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord. But good teacher is not an option Jesus gives us. Think of it this way. You're on a sinking ship in a storm. People are shouting and panicking. Then someone appears with a lifeboat and says, "Get in. This is the only way out." Now, if someone came out with a book of instructions, you can argue about that, but rescue is different. You either trust the rescuer or you don't. Jesus doesn't give advice on how to reach God. He comes to rescue us. That's why Peter, one of Jesus' 12 disciples, says in Acts 4:12, "Jesus is the only one who can save people. His name is the only power in the world that has been given to save anyone. We must be saved through him." And Paul, who initially rejected Jesus, says in 1 Timothy 2:5, "There is only one God, and there is only one way that people can reach God. That way is through Christ Jesus." Christianity says that our problem isn't a lack of knowledge. Our problem is our separation from God. And God came down to us. That is amazing grace. Secondly, where the Bible says yes to other religions. So does this mean that other religions have no truth? Well, no, because in Genesis 1:27, it says God created humans in his own image. He created them to be like himself. So every one of us, every person is made in the image of God. That means every culture carries something good, a sense of right and wrong, a hunger for meaning and purpose. So we expect to find good things everywhere: prayer, sacrifice, caring for others. It's like a stained glass window smashed on the ground. The picture is broken. No piece shows the whole picture, but each piece still shines with colour. Red here, blue there, gold over there. Christianity doesn't deny these colours. It says they come from God, but the picture is incomplete. So yes, a Muslim's devotion in prayer shows a seriousness about God, and a Buddhist's focus on compassion shows how much they care for others. Christians should recognise and respect these things. Don Richardson saw this as a Christian missionary to the Sawi people of Papua, Indonesia in the 1960s. The Sawi people shocked him at first. They admired trickery and deception as a good thing. And so when Richardson told them the story of Jesus, they thought Judas was the hero. At first, this seemed to confirm the worst fears about other religions and cultures. But Richardson kept watching, listening, and learning. And over time, he discovered something remarkable. The Sawi had a tradition called the Peace Child. In order to stop a war, a father would give his son to the enemy tribe. And as long as that child lived, then peace remained. That was a piece of truth, a piece of stained glass. The Sawi knew that peace costs something. They knew sacrifice brings reconciliation. And when Richardson explained that God gave his own son, they understood and the gospel made sense. Their religion wasn't Christian, but it pointed toward the truth. Christianity didn't destroy that fragment, but it completed it. And that is what it means to say, there is truth in many places, but the whole treasure is found in Jesus. Thirdly, why Christianity is different. Well, Christianity isn't special because of its morality. Other religions teach right and wrong. And it isn't special because it believes in one God. Others do too. Christianity is different because it is based on history. Luke, one of the four gospel writers, writes just like a historian. And in his letters, Paul points to hundreds of eyewitnesses of Jesus' resurrection. Christianity didn't begin with a private vision. It began with public events. And that raises a question. Is it wrong to persuade someone to change their beliefs? Well, the truth is we persuade people all the time. Doctors persuade patients to take their medicine, parents warn children about danger, and friends encourage friends to get help. So persuasion isn't arrogance, it's actually care. And so the real question is, did Jesus rise from the dead? Well, the early Christians said, we saw him, we ate with him, we saw him die, and we saw him alive again. You can debate ideas, but a man rising from the dead demands a decision. And so religious truth then isn't just personal preference. It's a claim about history that can be tested. At this point, many people appeal to the famous Hindu parable of the blind man and the elephant. Each blind man touches a different part of the elephant. One touches the tusk and says, it's a spear. Another touches the trunk, it's a snake. Another touches the ear, it's a fan. Another the leg, it's a tree. Another the side, it's a wall. And another the tail, no, it's a rope. And the conclusion people draw is this. All religions are like the blind men. Each grasps part of the truth, but none sees the whole. And at first it sounds humble, but look more closely. The parable only works because someone sees the entire elephant. The storyteller is not blind. The storyteller knows the full truth and can correct everyone else. So when someone says all religions only see part of the truth, they are placing themselves in the role of the all-seeing storyteller. They are claiming a position of superior knowledge. They are saying, I see what no one else sees. And that isn't humility. It's a hidden claim to absolute insight. And here's the deeper problem. There is no evidence offered for that claim. It's not argued and it's just assumed. So the statement, all religions are partially true, turns out to be just as exclusive as the Christian claim, only less honest about it. Christianity says openly, Jesus is the truth. The parable of the elephant says quietly, I have the truth and everyone else has fragments. In other words, the parable suffers from the same problem it criticizes. It dismisses exclusive truth claims while making one of its own. The real question then isn't, is any religion allowed to claim the truth? The question is, which claim best fits reality, the evidence, and history? And that brings us back to the resurrection of Jesus. Christianity makes one central claim. Jesus physically rose from the dead. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:12-14, we tell everyone that Christ was raised from death. So why do some of you say that people will not be raised from death? If no one will ever be raised from death, then Christ has never been raised. And if Christ has never been raised, then the message we tell is worth nothing, and your faith is worth nothing. You see, what Paul is saying here is that all of Christianity stands or falls on whether Jesus died and rose again from the dead. And that claim directly contradicts other views. Muslims say that Jesus was a prophet but did not die. And so Jesus did not rise from the dead. Jews say Jesus died but didn't rise from the dead. Hindus say mostly, Jesus' resurrection is symbolic and not historical. And atheists, of course, deny the possibility of resurrection altogether. But Christians say Jesus died and rose bodily from the dead. They can't all be right. Fourthly, how Christians should live with disagreement. Does believing Jesus is the only way make Christians proud? Well, it shouldn't. Christianity is built on grace. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "You have been saved by grace because you believed. You did not save yourselves. It was a gift from God. You are not saved by the things you have done, so there is nothing to boast about." We are saved by a gift and not by effort. Imagine two people are pulled from the ocean following a shipwreck. One's a really good swimmer and the other can't swim at all. But in the rescue boat, the difference doesn't matter a bit. Both were drowning, both were saved, both owe their lives to the rescuer. So at the cross, every one of us is equal. Christians don't persuade because we think we're better. We persuade because we believe Jesus saves lives. So back to that complaint. Thinking a religion is the only right one has caused wars. If Christians keep claiming they have the only truth, the world will never know peace. Yes, when Christians ignore Jesus' teachings, they cause harm. Indeed, all religions have an element that tends towards violence. When someone picks up a surgeon's scalpel to use as a weapon, the problem isn't the scalpel, it's the person misusing it. Many terrible things have been committed in the name of Christianity, but they were carried out by people that had ignored Jesus' own teachings. Because at the centre of Christianity is a man dying for his enemies and praying, "Father, forgive them." The closer we follow him, the more peaceful we become. Others say the world will be better without religion, but the 20th century tested that idea. Under both Stalin and Mao, in an effort to produce an ideal world, religion was removed and replaced with faith in the state. As a result, tens of millions died. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who survived the Soviet labour camps, later said, "Men have forgotten God. That's why all this has happened." When God is removed, something else takes its place, either the state, the leader, or the ideology. And history shows us that removing religion does not remove evil. It simply removes the moral boundaries that stand in its way. And when people become the ultimate power, then there is no restraint. The problem is not God. The problem is people. So are all religions basically the same? Well, no. But that doesn't make Christians superior. Only Christianity says you cannot reach God on your own. God came to us. And that truth doesn't create pride. It creates humility, kindness and patience. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth and the life," not to shut people out, but to invite them in. So rather than saying all religions are the same, we can say all people are the same. All of us are broken. All of us need saving. And that Saviour's name is Jesus. So where does that leave us? Well, not with an argument to win, and not with a religion to compare to others, but with a person to respond to. Christianity doesn't end with a theory. It ends with an invitation. Jesus does not say, "Clean yourself up and then come." He says, "Come to me. Come with your questions, come with your doubts, come with your failures. Come just as you are." Becoming a Christian is not about joining a club. It's not about becoming more religious. It is about trusting a rescuer. If you've never done that, today you can. This is not about leaving your brain at the door. It's about opening your heart to the truth. Jesus is the way, and today the way is open. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, thank you for showing yourself to us through Jesus. Thank you that you came down to rescue us when we could not reach you. Help us to be humble, gentle, and loving as we speak with people who believe differently to us. Fill us with your grace and wisdom. Help us to live lives that point others to Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.